morning, people. It is the Starship Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence. Mm-hmm. A few minutes behind here on the start, but White Sox in Cleveland, things didn't go so well.
No.
But that's okay. That's
nope.
All right. We find our way through this. And
rebuild.
We have a many.
Rebuild. Don't forget the word rebuild.
Yes, yeah.
Put it in your brain.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm already on it.
We got it.
But we have a lot to get to today on this program until 7 o'clock tonight. We do. We're going to play News or Ruse with. I always forget. What was the guy that comes on after us? God, what is his name?
Justin.
Justin Kaufman.
Still Justin Kaufman, yep.
Mm-hmm. Justin Kaufman's going to be with us in the 6 o'clock hour playing News or Ruse. And you can win a Four Winds Casino New Buffalo gift certificate. Yeah, pretty good one, too. Pretty healthy one. So you could join us for that. And Top 5-5, of course, at 5 o'clock coming up. And then the fun and the hilarity ensue. We were just, I took the kids over. Uh-huh. You're just getting back from your out-of-town experience.
That's right.
I was out of town a little bit over the weekend, too. Went down the Indy 500. It was a ton of fun, very fast.
I saw your pictures. You could barely see the vehicles. They're just sort of swooshes. But a really cool thing to see. I've never been down there myself.
It is. I did not anticipate that that it was going to be as much fun as it turned out to be. I did not realize that the pure speed of that is what you're there for. It's kind of hard to figure out when you're, you know, there's signs and things around that tell you who's leading.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of oriented, but it gives you all 33, like in a rolling scroll about who's ahead, and you get a little lost in it, and then they go by you. You're looking at the screen, and by the time it takes the screen to go all the way through as it rolls through, they've already gone past you 1.5 times. So then,
I mean, how do you keep track, right? Of what you're looking at, it's just
I don't have
the knowledge to really follow it.
Well, thank God they're in big bold colors.
Yes,
because that's
neon green.
Yes.
That one I know.
Well, Danica was in this neon green one, the GoDaddy car.
That's right, finishing her racing career.
Yep. And she was she had a pretty horrifying crash. I was in the bathroom for the crash.
Oh,
yeah, that was not so good. But I took a video of her. I took this video on the last full lap, and then there was a caution. And when they were coming out of the caution is when she went and hit the wall.
She's okay, right? Because it looked like a nasty crash.
The crashes all look nasty.
Well, and then they
pull out and they walk around and then they yell at somebody and then they get in their car and then they go away. I think one guy got transported to a hospital, but he's fine.
Good.
I mean, but it's amazing. I want to know why they don't make the rest of the cars out of
whatever they make those out of, right? With those steel cages or something they sit in.
And the Hans device, I think, changes their outcome. The thing that kind of attaches them so that their head doesn't move dramatically during the crash. And I think it is definitely worth seeing. It was kind of on my secondary bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gotta see. It's been fun, like major sporting events. This one, since it is so close to Chicago, I think it is
that get down there and
people
see it.
Should see it at least once.
Did you get dirty?
Oh, that's rather personal. Like,
no,
I don't know.
I'm talking about how close you were to the action.
Oh.
People
do they drive in mud?
No,
don't
but
they get dirty when you sit kind of close up in the pit areas, or you make it down to close
yeah. There's
to the
a
action.
Lot of dust from the brakes and the rubber
got a
and all that
dust in my eye.
Yeah,
I don't think Ro was that close. To the
no,
dust.
No, no, no.
I would imagine it would bother you though.
It would have. I went down. So it was up in seats. You know, near on the straightaway.
I bet you're in the fancy swanky.
I was in a nice area, and then I chose to, you know, be with the people.
With the common people.
Yeah, with the common people. And I stepped out of my, excuse me, gentlemen.
You took your cravat off.
I did. I put it on. I made
now it all blend in perfectly.
Actually, I turned my cravat into a headband, which there, of course, works. That's how you do it.
You ripped your sleeves off?
You ripped the sides of your, here's one thing I noticed in Indiana.
Do?
You ripped the sides of your shirt off.
So the pits are kind of open?
The pits are open, and there's actually, it only comes together at the very bottom, and then over your shoulders.
So it's like a full breezeway through your through your upper body.
Yes. Yes. I saw
like
a lot of that. I went to the infield because I wanted to see that. And also there's a golf course there. So
there's a golf course on the infield? Indy 500?
Yeah.
Boy.
Didn't message me apply.
Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. I just hit a wrong thing there. Don't mind me. Yes, there's an on the infield. There is this. Well, Kev, what is it? It's like a holes of the 18 are on the
right. There's an actual full course around the track, and then you actually go underneath the track to get to these holes within the infield.
Yeah.
I think there's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 holes or something like that actually in the infield. You could play all year round, essentially, or at least during the golf season.
And on the infield, there were on the infield, people were just camping out and doing whatever they're doing. Some of them were on the golf course. Which was, and the golf course, I don't know. I've
quiet, please. Quiet infield.
It's kind of funny.
Quiet on the infield.
Well, no one was playing golf at the time. Although that would have been something. Although I will say this. I'll tell you what was actually kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Was they had this thing called the Snake Pit.
Okay.
That they do every year. It's like their festival.
During the Indy 500.
It's before.
Before.
And they have musical acts and stuff like that. And so all the news in Indianapolis, all the news TV stations,
mm-hmm.
It starts at like the full coverage starts on Saturday night. There's like specials and there's a big parade in downtown Indianapolis
sure,
for this.
I'd imagine.
It's a big, big, big deal. It's 102nd running of this.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think about, and like, 102 years ago?
They're having a good run.
Yeah, it was like, were they going 40 miles an hour? Now they're doing 220? I mean, it's
probably crazy,
right? So then it starts, and you wake up, and I was asking the people, well, what time should I leave? Well, if you're going to drive, you should probably leave about 3, 4 a.m. And I'm like, I should what? If you really want to find parking, the best time to get there about 2 a.m.
Don't people turn their front yards and everything into parking
yes.
spots?
Yes.
There's a real commerce around the whole thing.
Oh, totally. And I parked in a pawn.
In a pawn broker's
parking lot.
Oh, did you?
I negotiated the deal.
Yeah.
I negotiated the deal.
Did you give him your Rolex?
What I did is I gave him loose gold, and we were able to, and he smelted it right there,
it's
and
perfect.
I was able to save him.
Then you got a fine parking space, I bet, for that.
Yeah, it was actually, but it's everything is like a mile away. If you want, but they said the best thing to do. I don't know why they sounded like this, but they did. The guy that didn't have he didn't have the sides of his shirt on.
He's got jean shorts on too.
Jorts.
That's definitely the look.
Yes. The jorts.
Jorts and cut off sleeves.
Mm-hmm. And high tops, but the high tops are sort of torn apart by the dogs. they're sort of low cut now,
sure.
High tops. You can still see where it once was a high top, mm-hmm. the structure of it.
I know those.
Anyway, so the guy is like, now, I'll tell you this. Now, you get in one of them parking lots with them fancy, them tickets. It's about $100 to get your ticket in them parking lots right next door. You get them. Now, you're going to be in there 3 hours before we get out again.
Right. You can't just drive over the curb in the grass to get back on the street.
Now, you go by the pawn shop, mm-hmm. and they get you right easy out.
So easy out, just like the Cubs games.
Yeah, easy
right?
out.
That everybody sells.
That's right. You get easy out.
And you pay how much for the privilege?
It was only $25.
No way.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy.
That
I thought it was going to be like
near enough.
$50 or $100. It was
how far
bucks.
Was it from the actual?
A mile.
Oh, okay.
So a mile like a from mile. The actual. Well, a mile from the beginning of like the one corner of the. This is probably about 2 miles from like where I had to go, but it is. So I made it. I hired the guy that had the no size, and I just got on his back and had him walk.
Oh, perfect.
I kept sliding. I couldn't get my feet to stay on the sides, though, because it's like it was kind of sweaty.
Do they have those rickshaw guys there?
They did.
Kind of transport you like they do after Bears games?
I want to tell you, though.
I always feel sorry for them. Because
I love rickshaws.
But they always look super skinny, and then the people, it just looks like they're carrying too much weight at any given time.
They love it.
I feel sorry for them. I mean, I just
they love it.
Sometimes you see what they're carrying.
Oh,
they're
Yeah,
and some of those rickshaw guys, they look like stoners anyway, right? I mean, they're sort of like, they have to be self-directed, those people.
Yeah.
I can't really have a job, man.
Can't work for the man.
I've got a rickshaw. So I'm going to take these 400-pounders with me.
They do okay, though. They
to the United Center.
At the end, it's like $100 or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No,
that's
I
true.
Love negotiating with them. It's like my passion in life.
It's a rickshaw, man. I'm just going to ride on the open roads.
So cool. Anyway,
I'm
on this guy's back.
Okay.
I get to the thing.
It's all sweaty.
Yeah. I did notice, though, what is interesting is the Indiana State Police and the Indianapolis Municipal Police,
mm-hmm.
and then I guess the county or whatever, they were unbelievably great. They handled that crowd, because I think it's somewhere between 275 and 400,000, 400,000 in the area, and 275 and then get inside in some way, shape, or form. And to be able to move that number of people, and everybody wants to drive their own cars there, it was amazing. And that's and Indianapolis is really a, you know, it's kind of a booming town.
It's a fun town.
Yeah.
It's a great town.
There's a whole bar and restaurant area that's super cool. It was nice. It was, and they're so welcoming. But they literally, even that guy was telling me, now listen, now don't judge us on what you're going to see tomorrow. Because there are going to be people there, that some of them people, they're going to try to make babies in the middle of Anfield.
Oh, boy.
Avert your eyes. All right.
Gets a little crazy.
Let us now check in with Judy Pilak. By the way, you want to win a 2018 Chevy Silverado? For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you got a smart speaker, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. Judy Pilak has the news right now at 4 o'clock. Rook on Show with Anna DeVlantzis right here on 720 WGN. Thank you, Judy.
Thanks, Judy.
For everything you've done.
You're welcome.
Just a
question.
Do
you mean working while I'm sick?
I know. Oh, we can tell you're struggling a little bit today,
Judy. I had the flu.
The flu?
Over the holiday weekend. It was great. I was real strong. 36 hours in bed.
Oh, gee. The flu, yeah.
That's 36 hours in bed?
In bed. I just couldn't get up.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
When does this happen? It's flu season's over, Jude.
Didn't
somebody tell you?
Well, that's interesting that you should say that, because I happened to go to the doctor today for my daughter, but it didn't matter. There was a doctor in the room.
Ah.
And I said, doctor, please explain to me why I have the flu when I had the flu shot. He said, well, let me explain to you that the flu is going longer in the season.
He said, how much did you drink last night?
And like, you always sound like this after a holiday weekend.
Right.
No, he said the last year and this year, the flu's getting longer in the season. So a lot of people have it right now.
Oh, not good.
And then you show up.
I thought it was behind us.
What are you doing?
I went in your office today, bro, and I licked everything.
Oh,
all those boxes and
that
stuff.
That is such great news, because I have never been in my office here. So that's good news.
Burn it down.
I have the Clorox wipes, so we'll swab it down.
There was a coffee in there. I licked the rim.
Oh, God.
Okay, we're
getting... Ew! Said bro.
Said bro.
That's it.
Over to the 303. Let's get out of here.
No, I literally have one of those masks. I took it from the doctor's office today.
Oh, you look like a Chinese tourist?
Yes.
Yes, I like that.
They're everywhere. They have those masks on. It worries me.
Yeah. In the airport especially.
Are they sick or do they not want to get sick?
I don't know.
Well, they don't want to get sick.
I think if you transit through Hong Kong, they always say, because Hong Kong is right next to that southeastern part of China is where all the diseases in the world come from, because chickens sneeze on people there, and then they get
chicken sneeze.
Yeah,
very
and
scientific.
Then they get the bird flu. You get the bird flu. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh.
And that's a bad one.
I think though the people who wear it, they're wearing it so they don't get sick.
Either way, it's a whole Asian thing. It's like it's the sort of, we don't do that here because we want to be too cool. We think it's uncool to look like
right.
that.
Definitely,
but I will say,
uncool.
But at now at the doctor's offices everywhere, they have a box there and it says, please, if you are, you know, experiencing symptoms, please. So I felt guilty. There are a lot of pregnant women and kids,
so
I put it on, and I know one of the moms even made.
Well, what about your coworkers?
Yeah, really? Did you supply them for us today?
You know, and I took it off when I got to work. Talking real close to
Where's
people.
Where's Ro?
Did you see how many times I got in the elevator with you today? You didn't even notice, Ro?
Were you in the elevator? I've never noticed you in the elevator.
It's hard not to notice, Judy.
Oh, we were in the elevator, all right.
Whoa. Oh, God.
Yeah, you should be very,
Judy,
very
worried.
Judy,
are you on NyQuil?
No. She's on Ambien.
See, I was going to ask. Make sure no one is
it.
Under the influence of Ambien on the show today.
Oh, my gosh. That's the best line ever.
How do you, Judy, how do you feel about African Americans?
Oh, my God. The NyQuil made me do it.
All right, we should have a little talking about this. I think this is quite a moment.
And we should explain that Ambien has responded, the pharmaceutical company.
Yes.
Very clearly.
Yes. So Roseanne now says that it was the Ambien that made her
racist.
Tweet a racist thing. Yesterday she apologized for it. I thought the apology was, you know, it went above and beyond it an did. Apology because she said, listen, I take full responsibility. It was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Valerie Jarrett. Although one of her other tweets was, I didn't realize that she was black, which I think is, you know, that's well, not like that, that somehow makes it, she thought she was, you know, from the Middle East. I'm like, does that, you're not helping here.
She's since even gone farther on that because she said that she and her son have text messages that they back and forth about how that proves she didn't know that she was black. So she's,
I can only imagine the content of those.
Yeah. Right, she's deleting in between. Like, here, you can read that one, but not the next one.
I mean, she's, but here's the thing. She's like, in her apology yesterday, she was like, don't defend me. I screwed up. Don't, it's horrifying. It's embarrassing. I'm on the Ambien. Don't defend me.
Yeah.
And yet, people feel absolutely, I think, not even entitled to, but required to defend her. And it's like, you know, I don't know. What planet are the people from who think it's okay to do the whole Planet of the Apes reference?
Yeah, no.
I mean, come on.
It's just wrong. And she says that to her credit. It's unforgivable. But this is the part that got people. Do not defend me. It was 2 a.m. and I was Ambien tweeting. It was Memorial Day too. I went too far and do not want it defended.
Okay.
Ambien tweeting was the part that I think a lot of people picked up on, including the drug maker that makes Ambien.
Well, and it's indefensible.
And it is a Memorial Day reference, a reference to drinking or a reference to the holiday itself. And I was very emotional because it's Memorial Day. I don't understand what she's saying there. I think she's saying she was drinking, right?
Yeah,
that's what I read it as.
If you drink and you're on the Ambien, you stick your head through a cockpit door. Right? Isn't that what happens on those flights?
You know who's on it, right?
Right.
After they have a cocktail or two, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
that's more than just the alcohol talking.
I have a cocktail to relax, and I'm going to take an Ambien to go to sleep. And the next thing you know, you're hijacking the plane. And then you wake up and you go, I had no idea what I was doing. So there's that. But, all right, so then she does her thing. ABC decides it's going to fire her.
Within hours, really. I mean, it didn't take long.
No, but I think there were a couple. Let's be honest here. This is show business. This is not show friends. This is not show justice. This is show business. And if they could get advertisers to support anybody in the business, could get advertisers and an audience to support anything, they would put it on television, which explains why America's Favorite Videos is still on TV.
Thank you for explaining that, because I wasn't sure.
That is why.
It's still there.
There are people who watch that. There are people who do not want to watch 60 Minutes or Megyn Kelly and have decided that they need to watch something that's going to be totally mindless. They want to watch a cat, you know, falling into a bathtub.
Mm-hmm. Or rollerblading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the dog baby mix. It's always funny.
When I personally find it really weird. It's like orthopedic porn. There's a guy that is like, you know, on a skateboard, and then he takes a header into a pool, and they go, and then Carlton has to act all like, oh no, he's okay though, even though his face, you know, he comes up and his face is totally smushed off. You're like, oh come on,
there's no way he's okay.
Anyway, but you can tell we all watch it. So the point is,
but it's a high-rated show, a very high-rated show, probably the most highly rated for ABC.
Roseanne was this year in terms of the winter replacement series.
Mm-hmm.
It was the highest-rated thing with an average of over 20 million, I think, which is a gigantic thing, and it was beating a lot of other shows. Now, the reality was, as they went into the upfronts, because of her tweeting, you know, we just started paying attention to this, but there were other people paying attention to the other tweets. She's one of those conspiracy tweeters. She tweets about Pizzagate and
9/11.
Right, 9/11. And she was, and that Chelsea Clinton's married to a Soros, and that George Soros was a Nazi sympathizer and murderer during the Nazi regime, even though he was. was 12 years old, and the
Boston bombing, Obama was behind it.
Yeah, she's all over all of this stuff.
Right. She retweets almost all of those things.
So there was starting to be some advertising softening around her show, because there were people who just didn't want to be necessarily associated with her for that reason. Then she does this, and a bunch of advertisers are like, no, we're out. And I think the most important thing that changed everything is that Wanda Sykes, the comic and actress and writer, was the head writer of the Roseanne show and one of the producers of the show, and along with the Carsey Werner people. And she, I think within an hour, was like, all right, I'm not returning. And they were all coming back to work yesterday. They were all coming back to work on the Tuesday to start writing for the upcoming season. And so when Wanda Sykes said no, I think ABC said, well, we don't really have a show. Because Roseanne doesn't really write this stuff. Roseanne may be helpful in outlining the direction of the plot, but in terms of the actual writing, it's all done by the writers. And the show was quite well written. And it wasn't just, Roseanne wasn't right. It wasn't like, the Sean Hannity show where she's up there screaming about the Obama being a criminal and we should put him in jail.
Right.
The rest of the cast thought she was nuts
right.
in
you
the show.
Right. Remember, one of the show's storylines was that there was a Muslim family that moved in next door, and she thought they were terrorists because she was, obviously thinking the most, totally broad brushing them because of who they were. And the show, when they wrapped their the dialogue around that, it was making shaming her for acting in that way.
Right. But I think at that point, when Wanda Sykes walked away and the advertisers were like, started calling around, going, stay with us, we're going to try and fix this. And they were like, no, we're out. So the economy surrounding that show went away, and which, resulted in the cancellation. But then the president got involved today. Yesterday, the White House press shop said the president will not be commenting on this. He's very busy dealing with North Korea. Apparently, North Korea is solved, because this morning he tweeted about the Roseanne thing. We'll tell you what he said coming up after Judy tells us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Well, the president says Valerie Jarrett got one. Why not him?
Okay, that's what I was about to say. But yes, thank you. I think she's still on the NyQuil. Here is Violetta.
Look at Roseanne. I called her yesterday. Look at her ratings. Look at her ratings. I got a call from Mark Burnett. He did The Apprentice. He's a great guy. He said, Donald, I called just to say hello and to tell you, did you see Roseanne's ratings? I said, Mark, how big were they? They were unbelievable. Over 18 million people. And it was about us.
So the president has responded on Twitter today to all of this, despite the fact that the White House said he was not going to be responding to this. He has responded to it and said that this is his tweet. Bob Iger of ABC called Valerie Jarrett to let her know that ABC does not tolerate comments like those made by Roseanne Barr. Gee, he never called President Donald J. Trump to apologize for the horrible statements made and said about me on ABC. Maybe I just didn't get the call.
And I think, is he referring to the Brian Ross investigative report that talked about the Michael Flynn was ordered by him and the Russians? Remember that whole scenario that was misreported and then retracted? The ABC retracted it, issued an apology. I'm assuming that's one of the things, because he stays on that particular topic. But he doesn't get very specific about what it is that he was owed an apology for.
Here is Sarah Huckabee Sanders responding to this.
Where was Bob Iger's apology to the White House staff for Jemele Hill calling the president and anyone associated with him a white supremacist? To Christians around the world for Joy Behr calling Christianity a mental illness? Where was the apology for Kathy Griffin going on a profane rant against the president on The View after a photo showed her holding President Trump's decapitated head? And where was the apology from Bob Iger for ESPN hiring Keith Olbermann after his numerous expletive-laced tweets attacking the president president as a Nazi and even expanding Obermann's role after that attack against the president's family. This is a double standard that the president is speaking about. No one is defending her comments. They're inappropriate, but that's what the point that he was making.
There you go.
Well, I mean, there's a difference here between all of that.
Plus, many of them did issue apologies.
They
Kathy
did.
Griffin issued an apology.
Yes, then, including to her agent for ruining her career.
Right.
There's a difference here between disagreeing with somebody's politics or even their religion, as offensive as that may be to people, or insulting somebody for something they can control. The difference here is a very clear one. The difference between racism and sexism, and the difference between intolerance and bigotry when it comes to religion or politics, is different. Because when you're insulting somebody for being black, that is not something they control. If you're insulting somebody for being a liberal, that is something they control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's something you can disagree with somebody on their political slant or their beliefs or what they've said or how they behave, which is what this is all about. So the people, whether it was Obermann or Joy Behar and those people, Donald Trump is a big boy. He can defend himself. He gives as good as better than he gets in most cases. So that's just part of that. To sit around and go, oh, they're not apologizing to me, is absolutely ridiculous. Because the reality is you do owe an apology if you insult somebody based on their heritage or their race. That's where we in this culture draw the line. But politics is all part of freedom of speech, right? So your public statements and who you say you are and how you represent yourself as a matter of choice is fair game. So the president is not owed an apology from any of those people by ABC because it's all based on his behavior. If they had said that they hate Donald Trump because he's a white guy, then yeah, he's owed an apology.
It's fascinating because now Roseanne is also saying that Michelle Obama was in on this and that ABC had a conversation with her before deciding to cancel her show. So there's a lot of finger pointing going on. I blame Michelle.
What is that? Explain that. What?
She's saying that, and try to follow it, because this is Roseanne sort of pointing to other people in this situation, although she is taking full responsibility for what she said and now acknowledging it's totally wrong and indefensible. She's saying that she was very critical on Twitter when the Obamas got their Netflix deal, lashing out about them and very public about that, and that Michelle Obama has some relationship with this head of the entertainment division that ultimately canceled the show.
The new head of the entertainment division, right.
And
who's an African-American woman.
African-American woman, first one to hold that type of role, really, in any major position in Hollywood. And basically, as soon as this thing was said about the close Obama friend, Valerie Jarrett, she says Michelle made a call to ABC and said an apology is not going to be enough here, that it has to go farther.
I doubt that's true. Do you get the sense that the Obamas, first of all, do you get the sense the Obamas are even reading the newspapers?
I don't know.
I really don't even get the sense that they're doing that.
Although this is a close friend of theirs, I would imagine. You know, they're well aware of this particular situation. But no, I'm not sure that you need to intervene in order for a decision like this to be made. I think the question is, ABC sort of knew that they were playing with fire and dealing with Roseanne, period, right? Her history, her social media history is out there, and they knew what she was about. They knew the kinds of conspiracy theories she peddled in before they decided to say, hey, let's reboot the Roseanne show.
You know who deserves an apology today? Jeff Sessions.
Poor Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. I'll explain that.
Okay.
Coming up. Oh, and we found Melania.
Melania has been found.
Yes. It was curious that she's been missing.
Well, she's saying she wasn't missing, but that we can.
But she hasn't been in the public eye. No one's seen her.
Mm-hmm.
No one's taken a picture of her.
Photographic proof, right? But
and there were events like the wreath laying for Memorial Day is one that the First Lady generally attends.
Mm-hmm.
So they, well, what's going on there? So I have a theory. I have a theory on this, too.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. Judy Pollack's got WGN News coming your way in two. All right, we think we found Melania, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm. The mystery gets even more interesting.
All right, so Melania has been missing since she had what the White House describes as a kidney ablation procedure.
Not a surgery.
A procedure. It was a procedure, which is like, I think, 3 weeks ago now, right? It was over Mother's Day. Wasn't
it? A kidney 20 ablation.
Days. 20 days.
20 days ago. Hmm.
By the way, I'm glad you're home, Melanie.
Stop. He knows her name.
Maybe.
Spell check.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, it's even worse because that's what his phone shows. So just stop and think about
Who
that for a
Melanie?
Second. Who's Melanie? Why is she coming before I do? Although you get the sense of Melania it's not that sort of wife.
Jealous type?
No, I don't think she's a jealous type. I think she's more of a don't touch me type. My sense is, all right, do you have the tweet?
I do.
All right. Can you read the tweet to us, please?
Okay, let's get it right here.
Because she tweeted out to, you know, like, as a proof of life. But I don't happen to believe that this is proof of life. Unless she takes a picture of herself with a newspaper. And it would have to be like the Daily Caller or something, right? She couldn't actually do it with the Washington Post.
Yeah, it's, okay.
Or the failing New York Times. How perfect would that be?
My only newspaper.
I only read New York Times because it tells truth about everything going on inside this crazy place.
2 hours ago is when it happened.
All right, 2 hours ago.
I see the media is working overtime, speculating where I am and what I'm doing. Rest assured, I'm here at the White House with my family, feeling great and working hard on behalf of children and the American people.
Oh, that is so Donald Trump tweeting that.
It does not seem like her voice. You know how people even have a speaking voice, even in their writing?
She doesn't say that much, ever. Oh, she should have also been like, I have the number one husband.
I have number one. If she had said, I have number one husband, then it would be fine. Then we go, it's
like,
Melania.
Oh, okay.
No article. We get it. Was there articles? Did I read that again?
There were. Yeah. Yeah. I see the media is working overtime, speculating where I am.
Speculating.
Where I am and what I'm doing, period. Full stop.
Anything capitalized here?
No, but there's the ampersand instead of the and written out.
Oh, interesting.
So I think there's an assumption people do that in the White House. Rest assured, comma, I'm here at the White House with my family, feeling great.
Feel out to help us with this.
How would it
sound?
How should it sound if it were
her? Be much shorter.
Yeah,
working family
hard.
Here, good boy, nice.
I work hard, behalf of children and the American people.
Husband wrong. I'm okay.
Exclamation point.
Oh no, that is not her. Mm-mm.
Exclamation point.
And she didn't promote Be Best. Shouldn't she have hashtagged Be Best on that?
Feel Be Best.
By the way, kidney field Be Best.
She doesn't really do that.
But that's a way to, that would be her thing. That would be her hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
So shouldn't she have hashtagged that?
That's not exactly how hashtag works.
Somebody identified a whole bunch of Trump's tweets where he uses working overtime in his tweet.
Oh, it's already being taken apart and matched up to his prior tweets.
She would never talk about the media. She's never
classier
than that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And working overtime.
It's identified in like 7 of his tweets over the past.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at them now. The fake media is working overtime. Donald J. Trump on May 12, 2017.
This is for sure.
Word is early voting in Florida is very dishonest. The minions of the Democrats are working overtime.
Give me your phone, Melania. I'll take care of this.
The fake news networks are working overtime. September 30th, 2017.
I am concerned, though, where she is now that he has her phone.
Well, you know, they have a guy. He's got a guy who used to be his caddy. Who's his chief tweeter? This is true. I'm not making this up, and this is not a shot. He got a guy who works for him and became his communications guy that is like his personal communications guy.
You know, the only person you can trust is your caddy.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I totally understand him when he's, you know, I understand this choice of his. And this is a guy that used to work for him, I think, at Mar-a-Lago, and mm-hmm. then became his personal caddy at Mar-a-Lago, and then ended up being the, you know, his like tweeter in chief.
Wow.
So
he does allow someone to tweet for him?
Yeah. Yes.
I
some of the
he really
yes.
did them all himself.
Well, you can tell the like ones it. He does are misspelled.
But and she does have a staff that could, you know, help her with her tweets, because that's first ladies have that, right? It comes from
yeah,
the official
for sure.
FLOTUS account, but it doesn't always come directly from her. But this one is written, I am, you know, I'm several times.
She either ran away, and who'd blame her, or she's being held hostage. I don't think that there's any, or she tried to escape.
Escape.
There was a lot of people were joking that her escape tunnel collapsed. And then they took her back in. This does seem like, these are like the letters that you'd get back from like a North Korean concentration camp.
Right. I'm fine.
I am fine. All is good.
Don't worry.
Crazy American media working overtime to say I'm not. It wouldn't sound like that from North Korea, but you know what I mean. Just go with me on it.
Maybe John Barron wrote it. Remember him?
Right. Signed, John Barron. Melanie is just fine. I, Melanie, am just fine.
When's the last time the First Lady even tweeted? Like, she doesn't tweet, does she?
I think about Bass Memorial Day. She did something on Memorial Day. What did she say? Can you find the Memorial Day
she
tweet?
She did tweet on Memorial Day.
Hold on. You got it?
My
on the Twitter?
Is super duper slow for some reason. But
on Memorial Day, we honor the Americans who laid down their lives for our great country. As one nation under God, we come together to remember the freedom isn't free. Thank you to all the service members and their family who sacrificed so much to keep us safe.
Well, that makes sense.
Can you read that in Slovenian for us, please?
On Memorial Day, we honor people.
Yeah.
God bless.
People bless.
People who serve our
people,
country.
God bless.
But that's totally appropriate. Her staff would write that one.
Yeah
that's a professional statement.
What you would expect to come from the First Lady's office.
It's like a greeting card sort of thing. So that's all right. It's an invocation. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she didn't write that either. All right, what's the one before that?
My heart goes out to Santa Fe and all of Texas today on May 18th.
Okay. Is she hashtagging Be Best on anything?
No, she's not.
No.
She really doesn't. She hasn't really
used
that.
Isn't that the point of her thing, though?
Maybe that's only special events that are relative to children.
She retweeted Donald Trump on May 10th. On behalf of the American people, welcome home.
Exclamation point.
Okay, so those are for the Korean, the people who were held in North Korea. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's Americans. A video attached to that.
All right. There was that. She was at that. She went from that to the emergency room, is basically how that went. Remember, she went to the hospital the next day.
That's right. She was on the plane and
right, and she seemed to be moving fine. There's one of three answers to this. Again, ran away. We don't know where she is. Hostage, or she had something done that she needs time to physically heal from, and the effects would be noticeable.
Like swelling from plastic surgery, or what are you?
Is that what you're saying?
It could be. It could be that. It could be. You know, maybe she's not moving right because the kidneys, maybe there might have been complications. We don't know. I'm working overtime right now as a member of the media trying to figure it out. And I would like a little bit of help here. It's mysterious, but everything has to be a mystery if it's potentially embarrassing to Donald Trump. Because he can't let any of his golf buddies know that his wife might not be available to him. Because it would be, you know, that'd be humiliating to him.
So you were saying, too, she was not there for the Memorial Day wreath laying at Arlington.
And no, she was not.
So people made note of that because that's something typically the First Lady would be present for.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mystery started to get even more heightened
at
that point.
I would like her to I would like just some sort of proof of life because she's the only, she and boy are the only people in this thing that I think are completely innocent. And I think Tiffany, too.
I just can't get over the fact, too, that one of the six people she's following is Barack Obama. The White House, Donald Trump, Vice President Pence, Karen Pence, and then the actual presidential Twitter account and former President Barack Obama. I mean, that has to be like a joke, right?
Did she pick up Barack Obama after she met him at the funeral?
I don't know.
Do you think it was sort of like he slipped her his Twitter handle?
Message me.
DM.
Go ahead.
I'm going to slide into Melania's DMs.
Why don't you follow me?
That's the one place.
I'm looking for more followers.
Trying to improve my digital footprint.
Be nice if you did it. I know you get a lot.
Retweet me once in a while.
I mean, yeah, that's interesting because I don't think that Donald Trump follows. Donald Trump follows like himself.
Fox News, and there's a like Sean Hannity and a few others.
Yeah, he doesn't follow Barack Obama. Group. Maybe she got in trouble for following Barack Obama.
Or maybe he's like, hey, you follow him, and I'll go check everything out on your account. You know when you like break up with someone, you're like, but your friends are still friends with them? You're like, I'm going to have to check that page once in a while.
He basically follows every member of the Fox staff and Ann Coulter and a handful of other politicians.
And all his golf.
Yeah, all his Trump resorts. Oh, and Pierce Morgan.
Oh, fantastic. Is that another guy?
His kids and Fox. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Instead of friends and Fox, it's kids and Fox.
Where are the kids on this? I mean, it's seriously. It's weird because we see her at least once a week, you know, in transit with him or something. And he's been moving around a lot. She has not been
there. Although she doesn't really go to those campaign-y style events, does
she? No.
Being absent from those isn't that noticeable.
But he's been going to other stuff. He went to Mar-a-Lago. He was playing golf or in Virginia or something. He was playing golf. She wouldn't go to that. Is she back in New York? I mean, that would be fine. If she went back to New York for a couple of days or weeks or months or whatever, I mean, I don't think anybody would really care. I think it's the secrecy of it that gets weird.
Well, and I think that's the most suspicious is that she says she's at the White House.
I'm at the White House.
No.
But I really enjoy being in the White House.
I don't think she'd be recovering at the White House.
Right. If you had just had surgery or something and you had access to the executive fleet of the United States Air Force and you could go anywhere you wanted to go and you have a house in Florida and you got this beautiful place in New York. Well, beautiful. It's gold. It's all gold. Everything. The bed is gold. It might be uncomfortable. But you've got all these things. You got Bedminster. All these places you could go.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a beautiful place in LA.
You're not going to the Abe Lincoln room. That's what I'm
right,
thinking, no.
Exactly. The Lincoln bedroom, right.
But it's only kidney procedure, right? So I don't know how much recovery you need. Do you need?
She already spent
a week right after the surgery, right? Before she was even going anywhere.
Yeah, but if you're going under for something, might as well get something else done.
Well, I mean, the fact that she hasn't been seen, I think, begs the question that, you know, something might be going on more health-wise.
That's possible.
Because why wouldn't she just come out with everything going on, just say, hey, I'm good.
Yeah.
Instead, she puts out a tweet.
Maybe she left the country with her parents.
Willingly, or did
okay.
ISA enter
you're
the,
going to take boy for a weekend. Then go to airport in Philadelphia. Fly to Toronto.
Just get out of here.
Leave for Trieste from Toronto.
I mean, her parents.
The whole thing is—it's like a whole. It's like Argo. What's going on here? get in bottom of van. We're going to drive real fast.
Keep your head down.
Keep your head down. He's going to go.
We have fake travel documents.
They're looking now. I am wearing baseball hat.
Fake passports.
There's some great fake pictures of the White House proving in photographic proof that she actually is there in the White House, like showing her next to the president.
Next to Warren G. Harding.
Like with the visiting dignitary pose where he shakes the hand of the person and they just put her face, they photoshopped her face onto the visiting dignitary suit.
Visiting,
so she's there.
Yeah.
She's there.
Yeah. Visiting dignitary, Winston Churchill was in the White House. Wait, what? All right.
Silencing the conspiracy theorists.
All right, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? Yeah, there you go. Little John Entwistle on the bass guitar right there.
Very nice.
All right, we got the Rob Cohn Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. We've got Judy showing up to work.
Playing through her flu.
Near death.
Put your mask back on.
Are you going to take tomorrow off? Is tomorrow going to be nice and the weather?
Is tomorrow Friday?
Yeah. Are you setting yourself up? No.
Well, I don't. I can power through one more day. Grow strong.
6 days, I couldn't tell you what day it was. Last Friday when we were here,
what today is.
I was like, it's last Thursday. I'm like, oh, it's Friday. I guess we're up to another day.
It was
crazy.
I know.
And then on Monday was Sunday. Tuesday was Monday. Mm-hmm. Today, I have no idea what day it is.
It's okay. We'll get through it.
It's Monday.
It feels like Monday.
It does feel like a Monday or Tuesday, but it's definitely Wednesday.
Look at that. Week's half over.
Yeah. Okay.
A little bit more if you're taking Friday off.
Right. By the way, what time should we be at your wake?
I'll send the condolence cards.
I always pull through after the weekend.
Guys, do you want me to drive? I can drive to Judy's wake if you want.
Sure, you've got more space in the car.
Yeah,
so vehicle.
Yeah, I just want to go in there. I just want to get in there, get through it real fast, and then go. Yeah. We'll go to a bar.
Will there be snacks?
Yeah,
I want you to distribute my ashes around the lake.
Yeah, I want to know what would you like your final arrangements to be?
Well, that'll take a while.
Yeah. Oh, God. You're like my mother. My mother's like an Egyptian. She's building like a...
Just leave money at the altar.
She's a tomb. She's actually got a pyramid that I think she's building.
Why not? Go out in style. People want to come visit you more.
She's deciding what she wants to take and where everything has to be inside. I'm like, what are you talking about?
You're spending your inheritance. Did you tell her that?
She wants to stuff her cat. She doesn't even have a cat.
Oh.
It's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
She should get a Saluki.
I'd be worried if she did get a cat.
She's going
right
to a pyramid.
Oh, I see what you did. Southern Illinois. Yeah. Go Salukis. Mm-hmm. All right. You know what it's time for, don't you? Because if it's 5 o'clock, that means...
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, I will. All right, checking in at...
Number 5.
You know who's having a worse day than,
Roseanne?
Yeah, Roseanne's having a bad day. I think Melania, I'm not sure if she's having a good day or a bad day. We just want to hear from her.
We just want to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, nobody believes that tweet was from her.
Mm-hmm. And then when the press corps asked the president on the White House lawn, where is she? Oh, she's right over there, and kind of pointed to a window, kind of unconvincingly. So, yeah, right there.
I know.
So then everyone sort of crazy.
I remember when Scott Peterson did this.
Stop.
Check the blue barrels.
Anyway, back to Drew Peterson. Well, both. Scott and Drew Peterson.
Yeah, two of them. Yeah. Stacey's, too, weren't they?
Yes. So here's the deal. So the guy having the worst day today is Jeff Sessions. Because Jeff Sessions awoke this morning to, you know, his wife came into the bedroom. And I'll bet you that Jeff Sessions... He goes to sleep in like a sleeping gown and a hat, like Ebenezer Scrooge. Don't you kind of see that? He's an old school kind of guy.
He is.
Has a glass of milk before
bed. Very traditional.
Bed.
Yeah, he's got the hat that's got the big, like the pom-pom on the end of it, and it's like a big kind of a thing.
The big slippers.
Yeah. Fuzzy. So she got, honey, she comes in to wake him up. The president just tweeted about you and said you're useless, and he wishes that he never hired you in the first place. Well... because he didn't say he was going to recuse himself. Now, this is an interesting thing. Then the president had some surrogates go out for him and make the case. And here is Jason Chaffetz, who is a congressman, who went on Fox and Friends to say...
Jeff Sessions is the attorney general, is there in name only. He's absolutely worthless. The sooner the president names a new attorney general, the better. He should never have recused himself. He didn't need to in a counterintelligence operation. And we have major systemic problems at the FBI, and he's nowhere on document production, nowhere on these things. I mean, you got Rod Rosenstein running the place. It's time to get rid of Jeff Sessions.
Stein. Okay. No one says Stein.
He did have to recuse himself. And they should have known that going in, that he had to recuse himself. That if he was a part of the campaign, he could not oversee the investigation into the campaign.
Right.
That's pretty much lawyering 101 right there.
True. But the New York Times today, breaking the story, I believe, that Jeff The president then went to Jeff Sessions to get him to reassert his control after he had recused himself, and that may now be central to the Bob Mueller investigation.
Right, and there was, and then he's like, "I can't do that. I can't. This is you guys don't understand the law, which is the whole reason we're having this investigation in the first place."
It's a lot of confusion.
So then, then there's Trey Gowdy, who went on CBS, and he's a congressman who has he's got the intense eyes. He's got the guy who looks like he's about to, like, he just got roided up and he's about to run through a wall.
A marathoner. You just get that sense.
He's got that, yes. But it's interesting. He's not running for re-election, so it's fascinating how truthful these guys get when they're not worried about having to stand in front of their voters.
If I were the president and I picked someone to be the country's chief law enforcement officer, and they told me later, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be able to participate in the most important case in the office, I would be frustrated, too. That's how I read that. Is Senator Sessions, why didn't you tell me this before I picked you? There are lots of really good lawyers in the country. Mm-hmm. He could have picked someone else.
Again, the problem here is that they should have known this going in.
Yeah.
But then Trey Gowdy also said, and I found this interesting, he said that based on what he saw of the evidence in the Spygate scandal the last couple of days, he goes, the FBI did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, acted properly when it used an informant and gathered information because they were after the Russians and not the president, was his belief after looking at the FBI's documents.
Which completely... And these are people who've come out now. The only other person who is not saying, everybody else has said, yeah, we saw it, and yeah, they did the right thing, Republicans and Democrats. The president yesterday said this.
So how do you like the fact they had people infiltrating our campaign? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No.
People infiltrating our campaign. Is there anybody in this big, beautiful arena right now that's infiltrating our campaign? Would you please raise your hand?
He's trying to keep the public on his side because it seems like certain members of his own party are saying now, look, that let's push back on this Spygate theory. It's not exactly how it's been portrayed.
Those rallies creep me out.
Yeah, and when you say...
Really?
Everybody gets this...
And when you say, can you imagine, it's almost like, can you believe this? Like, I'm making this up. Do you believe it or not? Can you imagine this?
The fact is, you can't really, because he is making that part up. They weren't infiltrating his campaign. They were investigating the Russian infiltration of his campaign. Is that a distinction without a difference? No. That's actually a different thing. But, and that's what, and again, you've got Trey Gowdy, all the rest of these people have seen it. Nunez will say nothing, but all the other Republicans have seen it go, yeah, no, this is, you want the FBI to take a look at this. Or is the other option to do nothing? I mean, why does the president, he doesn't want to acknowledge that the Russians are involved in this, because then if he does, then it discounts his presidency, he thinks. But that's the exact issue here. He's got to acknowledge that the Russians did try to do this, so... in order to stop this time or in 2020, which, by the way, they're going to work against him at some point, right? Because he will no longer be useful to them, or really whip things up so that it becomes really hard for him to govern, let alone, you know, win, which is already kind of happening. You see it. I mean, this is like, you know, it's just not good. It's not good. All right. I haven't even gotten to this part yet.
There's more?
There's more. Wait, hold on. We're at
number four.
So this is more from the national rally where that last thing came from. And the president, he's back to 2016 again. He was talking about Hillary. He's talking about Bernie. He's talking about Bill. What?
In all fairness, I'm no fan of crazy Bernie Sanders. I'm no fan. But I want to tell you, he got screwed. He did. Crazy Bernie. He still doesn't know what happened. Oh, he doesn't know. I saw him on television. I don't know what happened. Me too. I thought he was winning.
Why was he talking about Bernie?
Yeah, I don't know. It is funny, though. If you go to these rallies, it is almost as though Trump lost and he's not the president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just imagine if Trump had lost, how loud he would be right now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, but he won and he's still this loud. It's
actually amazing. If you go minute, the Indianapolis Star did a minute by minute deconstruction of what was said at that rally, and it's pretty funny because it just goes, it skips topics. So I was trying to find the context for Bernie, why he was mentioned, and there really isn't any. He goes from "I love country music" to reporters and how fake they are to, you know, Tennessee needs a senator to support President Trump, so he does a little stumping there. And then he just moves on, jobs, which you think he would be talking about, and the things he's he's done in his administration. But then just goes all over the board. You're right. Hillary, Obama, Bernie.
How about Jay-Z?
The only way she filled up the arena was to get Jay-Z. And his language was so filthy that it made me like the most clean-cut human being on earth. He'd stand up there before those crowds. And by the way, without any musical instruments, I had much bigger crowds than he was drawing.
Oh, gosh. Why is this such a competition?
Yeah, now, all right. Show of hands.
Okay.
Show of hands. When the people started booing Jay-Z... Were they booing Jay-Z? What do you think they were booing there? I mean, you know.
I wanted to.
What's going on there.
The filthy language.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Boo. You know what Jay-Z's like.
Oh, gosh. Did you talk to someone in Indy about that?
I'm going to tell you what that Jay-Z's all about. Tell you right now.
Using his instruments.
I hear he's got a big one, too. This is just a terrible moment that we are living in the world, because we're kind of moving backwards here. We're deconstructing. We don't need to deconstruct. You know, the president could really do... he's got an economy going. It's wacky, but there does seem to be at least some movement on North Korea.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, he's got...
Small slice of hope there.
If Wilbur Ross can stay conscious long enough, he might be able to cut a deal with China. He's done all these things he's promised he was going to do, and he's done them. I mean, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, at least his supporters, get to say he did exactly, finally a guy did everything they said they were going to do. But why the injection of the I'm better than you, and the vitriol, the anger, the resentment piece. Why does he still want to whip that up?
The name calling.
Right. Why doesn't he play? I mean, Reagan, people get, there's a lot of people in his camp. Well, he did like Reagan. He's nothing. Those people were in a coma if they think that's the case in the 80s, because Reagan was always about, as was George H.W. Bush, was always about creating a vision of greatness that wasn't about making other people bad. It was about lifting everybody up.
Mm-hmm. Elevating the country.
Right?
And he has some supporting evidence for that. You know, when you look at the jobs picture and unemployment, there is a real story to tell.
Yes, there's a story. I mean, it's a trend line that's been going before him, but sure. He's got a story. It's he can take credit for it. He can take credit for it, and that's fine. Just go do that. And talk about how America should come together and be great. And if black unemployment and Hispanic unemployment and female unemployment is at the lowest ever, those are all good things to tout. But not like, how come no one tells you that that's not happening? That's not it. How about, get everybody going in the right direction? You can just take the first half of the sentence out and tell the rest of it and everybody go, okay, and not make it about yourself. Is that so hard? Apparently it is. I'm up 4 octaves now.
I know you are, Ro. You got to take a deep breath.
Okay. Judy? What's coming up?
A grand jury indicts Harvey Weinstein for rape and other sexual acts. God. To add to your misery.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Did you see, by the way? I predicted this was going to happen. They had to use they had to do the 4 sets of handcuffs to handcuff him. Did you see that?
They did?
Yeah.
4 sets?
Well, there was like two sets. Oh. 2 sets of handcuffs. Yes, 2 sets of handcuffs.
Maybe he requested it.
He's into that?
Violetta?
Plan your home improvement and DIY projects Sunday mornings on WGN-TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini, 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11.
All right, here we go. Top 5 at 5 continues. We've worked our way to the...
Number 3.
Former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett appeared on MSNBC last night and spoke about the tweet leveled against her by Roseanne Barr.
I'm fine. I'm worried about all the people out there who don't have a circle of friends and followers who come right to their defense. The person who's walking down the street minding their own business and they see somebody cling to their purse or want to cross the street. Or every black parent I know who has a boy who has to sit down and have a conversation, the talk, as we call it. And those, as you say, those ordinary examples of racism that happen every single day.
All right. So then the president went to Twitter today to go after Bob Iger at ABC, saying, how come Iger called up Valerie Jarrett to apologize but didn't apologize to me for all the horrible things ABC has said about me? It's about me and Melanie, my wife.
Melania.
Thank you. Who? Here's Sarah Sanders.
Where was the apology from Bob Iger for ESPN hiring Keith Olbermann after his numerous expletive-laced tweets attacking the president as a Nazi and even expanding Olbermann's role after that attack against the president's family? This is a double standard that the president is speaking about.
Okay. Again, I'm going to say this one more time, and then I'm going to give it a rest.
Okay.
By the way, the second part is a lie.
I knew it would be.
The difference is you can argue and name call when it comes to people's behavior or their even their politics or religion, which of course, you know, is impolite, but it is you are expressing an opinion about them based on known information that you have about them, that this is how they behave or this is what they say they believe, right? That's one thing. So to have somebody call Donald Trump a Nazi is a gross misrepresentation and overstatement, but at least it's within the realm of politics, as the president does all the time. Even I've heard the president even makes things up, but or embellishes them. But the difference here is Roseanne Barr was not insulting Valerie Jarrett for her beliefs. She was insulting Valerie Jarrett for her physical and racial characteristics.
Right. She says, of course,
things she cannot control.
She says that she always thought she was Iranian and white and whatever, but she's since... And even provided proof that she and her son, you know, texted each other about how she thought that Valerie Jarrett was white. But I don't know how that makes that,
just imagine that
tweet any more defensible. She does say it's indefensible and says, but one, now she's saying one stupid joke in a lifetime of fighting for civil rights and for all minorities should not have taken me. You know, that kind of thing. So she's showing remorse. She's saying it's totally wrong. She's not defending it, but she is trying to bring some other people down with her. She's pointing fingers at Michelle Obama. She's, you know, other people.
She says Michelle Obama knew the director, the new person at ABC who was the head person for development.
Channing Dungey, yeah, the new head of development there.
Yeah, and that Michelle Obama ordered her to fire her, which I don't think is true. But, you know, Roseanne's nuts. I mean, let's just be honest.
There was a boycott
here.
ABC hashtag trending within minutes of her tweet going out there, even at 2 in the morning. Within a few hours, it was pretty clear it was not being received well.
All right, moving on here to, moving all the way.
Number 2.
I always hated this song. Apparently, it's very important musically.
Why is that?
I don't know. Toto, you know, they're this band. They were around for a long time. It was like musicians. They were like studio musicians, right? And they were very, very famous.
Sure.
That was their biggest hit, Africa. And because it's instrumentally perfect and written. Some people have said it's the most perfectly written song of all time. So I don't get it.
Does it bother you, or are you just...
It always bothered me, but now Weezer has covered it because they think it's the most important song of all times.
It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that'll
one didn't need to
it
be
sounds
remade.
Sounds like the exact same version.
It
does. They barely put their own
it's
spin
like
on it.
Karaoke version.
I don't get it. Why does everybody think that that's such an important piece of music?
I always just thought it was a one-hit wonder. I didn't know it had significance to it. This is
All right. Yeah, I know. All right, hold on. Stand by. So, you know what they're telling me?
I think it was from a needling from a fan on Twitter that caused them to go the Weezer to go and do the cover. So there you go.
Number one.
Jimmy Kimmel had his own thoughts on Roseanne last night.
This first season of the show is also its last, which is a huge blow to business. I mean, we don't have much on this network. We're hoping the NBA Finals goes 11 games this year. We're still airing America's Funniest Home Videos, okay? Roseanne was a very bigly hit for ABC, and we needed it.
Yeah.
That is true. All right, close it up.
The top five at five.
Jeff Earle is joining us from Mail Online, the Daily Mail, U.S. Deputy Political Editor, and a regular on this program. And Jeff, I just want to ask you if you believe that Melania Trump is still at the White House, or has she run away from home?
And did she write the tweet?
Yes. Is she missing? What is just your own personal thoughts? Are we concerned? Should I be concerned?
Well, there was some phrasing in that tweet that did not sound like it was from the original Slovenian, I do have to say.
And you probably speak Slovenian, don't you, Jeff?
I do. You could actually Google some phrases. They're not all good fit for the radio, but...
Got it.
Her staff has assured us that she is, in fact, at the White House, and she's working in advance of a meeting that she's going to take part in July, and we haven't seen her face, and she didn't show up with the president at some events where normally a first lady might show.
But. Yeah, Monday, the wreath laying and other things that have occurred here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you just wonder. I like a well-being thing. I'd like a picture of her holding up the failing New York Times, and or the or the Amazon Washington Post or whatever he calls that.
Watching the fake CNN news.
Yeah, the fake CNN. Right. I just want something. I just want some proof that she's okay. And if she's escaped, she should just let us know that she's safe. That would be fine, too. All right.
Well, she was looking for a reason to not have to show up at some of these things. She's got one now, so she's going to milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah, I suppose. Although, you know, they said she was back. No one saw her come back, though, right?
That's right. It was a weekend movement.
Yeah, and they do that. I mean, that's sometimes they'll move, and I get that. I mean, that's for, you know, they move the kids and they move some of the family members fairly deftly here and secretly and with you know, for good reason. But I don't understand. I don't know. There's something that just doesn't add up. When I have work done, I know I go in hiding for about 3 weeks. So I'm
where
just
do
thinking,
you go?
I'm on the radio, so people don't have to necessarily look
easier.
At it. Yeah,
you wear like a hoodie or something so that the CLTV doesn't really pick
right.
up everything on the dark marks under the eyes.
Yeah, I do that. I wear sunglasses. I wear the big sunglasses. You get the big sunglasses. Well, she already has those. Liz Taylor used to do this all the time. All right, this is not why we called, Jeff. You've been covering the Michael Cohen story today because there's an interesting development in terms of what evidence the government might have here and also the cooperation of the Cab King in New York. Let's talk a little bit about who that guy is and why he plays into it.
Well, the Taxi King is Evgeny Friedman, and he was, at least at one point, the largest owner of these taxi medallions, which used to go for about $1 million each, and in the New York system gives you the right to operate a cab. And he was a business partner with President Trump's longtime fixer and lawyer, Michael Cohen, for a long time, although Cohen says it's less than a partnership. And he cut a deal with the authorities that gave him no jail time, whereas there were some scenarios with an earlier deal, according to CNN, where he might have gotten, at a minimum, 2 years in jail. So something's going on there.
Yeah. So we assume he's cooperating then?
Yes. And it's been reported that he's cooperating. The authorities didn't say, sometimes they put out a statement that states the cooperation explicitly. They didn't do that in this case.
And they remember they were going through all of the documents, because there were hundreds and thousands of documents seized from his office in terms of potential evidence or something they might be looking for. They've really flagged a very, very small percentage of that as being privileged. That came out as well.
Yes, and you guys tell me, how is it even possible to have this many files on your phones? But they've got 1.3 million on three phones, the lawyers have said, and there's a total of it's approaching 4 million.
Wow.
And you're right, Anna, I think it was like only 300,000 were, I'm sorry, a vastly smaller number were deemed privileged. So there's going to be good stuff in there.
And he also has audio recordings, too. They say that there's been some confirmation of that. There had been speculation that he was recording things, but now there's confirmation that he has audio recordings, including of the president?
Well, it was said in court that he's got audio recordings, and Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, has said that the president shows up, and he's calling them the Trump tapes, but it's a little unclear. And if it were Trump, that might fall under what's privileged. So it could also be Michael Cohen talking about Trump.
Yes, because that is true, because we found out that Michael Cohen has three clients. Donald Trump is one of them. Sean Hannity. And I guess, was it the Russian, too? Who was the other client? I forget now. There was a third one.
He did have...
The finance guy. The guy, the GOP finance guy that had the little problem he had to get out of, where he had to pay for an abortion.
And there's a Playboy situation there.
Right.
And you can imagine how, if they were talking about Stormy Daniels, how Trump could come up, since he was part of the non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting. Now, Avenatti, let's just talk about that guy for a second. You know, he was having a pretty good run, and then all of a sudden his law firm in L.A. got a $10 million judgment against it. Because one of his firms... was reconstituting itself, and they declared bankruptcy in the original corporation, and then the judge was like, you can't do that to try to avoid, if you have other money coming in, you can't do that to try to avoid the money that you owe by just changing this. That doesn't seem like the right thing to do. And then they
doesn't seem right.
And Avenatti took a couple weeks off to lick his wounds and probably get that organized, but he's right back at it here, shameless as ever.
And Cohen's lawyer used that against him to argue that he's less than accountable with what he says, and sort of put the pressure on him because he needs a sort of a special dispensation to argue in this New York court. So some of the stuff Avenatti has been up to has been used against him.
Yeah, that is always something. You know, this is not going to end well for him either. I can just tell you right now, I can look at the flow chart of all these people. I can tell you who's going to end well for and who is not going to end well for. By the way, Melania, it will end well for. I'm absolutely certain of this.
Pretty sure about that.
I think she knows how to take care of herself. She certainly knows how to disappear, as long as she's okay. She's gonna be fine. But there's some other folks here, and I think Avenatti doesn't fare well at the end of all of this, because there is just something that is, I suppose if you would like to see the president in some sort of turmoil here, or, you know, getting what he's been feeding out to people, Avenatti is a hero to a lot of people who want to see that. But I just have a feeling that it's not completely clean hands. And have you noticed that there's no kind of, in court today, he was basically told that he had to stay off the media if he wants to stay in this court case as the lawyer of record. And so he chose to do media as opposed to being the lawyer of record. Do I have that right?
What does that tell you?
Yes. He withdrew. So, I mean, he could have some other person do the court stuff. But yeah, that tells you that where he wants to be is, and where he thinks he's being most effective is TV persona.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the future.
As opposed to, you know, sitting on at the trial table with Stormy Daniels. In this particular case.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Those two embraced in a recent PR appearance, which I'm not sure I would have done either.
Wait, who did what?
Avenatti did. Stormy Daniels was offered the key to the city in West Hollywood, and they did some cozy photos for that.
Oh.
What? What's wrong with West Hollywood that they want to give her a key to the city? I mean, let's face it.
Nobody's on the side of angels here, right?
Yeah. And it's not like, and she's not like, you know, traveling around the world trying to cure AIDS. She's, you know, not Angelina Jolie. She's a porn actress and not a particularly famous one until now.
I don't know what the qualifications are required to get a key to the city, so I'm going to stay out. I mean,
all right, thank
it's
you.
Not your
all right,
bait,
I get it. I
stay out of that one.
I understand.
Very
good move, Jeff. All right, thank you, Jeff Earl. Appreciate it, sir. And Mail Online, please read him there. U.S. Deputy Political Editor, and the Daily Mail, of course. You can. I suppose you could pick that up, but they have a TV show and they got the Mail Online.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here is Judy Pilak telling us from her deathbed what's coming up on the news at 6 o'clock.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. We have a celebrity in the studio with us right now.
We do.
Let's introduce him to me and everybody else.
And everyone else, because we haven't heard enough of him lately.
His name is Justin Kaufman, and I'm told here, Justin, you are a talk show host.
In an hour.
Profession.
That's right. In an hour, I will be on.
Oh, you're a talk show host here.
Oh.
How are you?
At WGN Radio. Fancy that. But we haven't heard you as much as we usually like to.
It's good to see you guys. I appreciate you asking me to do this.
Oh,
I'm always.
You say that now.
No, but I have a track record. I do hold, I believe I held a distinction for worst ever player.
Yeah, you came
and
in.
And I came back and did mediocre for the last couple, so yeah. I've evened it out to just poor performing.
Okay.
Not well, historic.
You know, and it's such a funny thing, because people would think that Violetta would be the worst performer in this, and yet she actually has one of the highest winning percentages
she
behind
does.
Judy.
Yeah. She does.
She can let Kevin play.
She can call him out.
I played once. They're like, get the hell out of here. You're never playing again.
Right. Roper doesn't play. We don't let him play.
Go get Kaufman out of his office.
He's moving.
Right. It's the damnedest thing.
Well,
hey.
Judy's playing slightly hurt today. She's got the flu. So you might be able to take her.
Upper or lower body injury.
You don't really think that's going to stop me, do you?
I can't tell the difference. I think you sound the same.
It's like the Jordan flu game. Look out, folks.
Yep.
Although she honestly does sound like she's about to die. I mean, that's the.
I actually feel like I'm about to die.
Oh.
Truly.
Oh.
I just thought you were going for a different register kind of thing, and like maybe changing it up, like a singer, like a professional singer.
Just a totally different vibe.
No, literally, I'm hacking up along. But I'm going for that.
This is really good of you to come in the middle of all this.
I know.
Yeah. Make sure you Roll touch strong. Everything.
Just don't cough on us.
Yeah. Oh, I'm coughing on you, all right.
Now, Judy is so
I'm
under
cough
the...
on your neck when I...
Judy,
you.
Oh, God.
Yuck.
Oh, God.
She's kind of crazy with the way she's going to get
a small child.
I am a little loopy.
Although we are planning...
the alien.
Loopy. Wait, did you hear what you did in the last newscast?
What?
Did you? Listen
no.
to this.
We were laughing
Listen
at you, not with you.
And you know it's almost summer when the state has the first mosquitoes to test positive for West Vile virus. They were found.
That's strong.
Or the West Vile virus.
You know how?
Remember that?
How Trumpian of you to pull that immediately and play it back?
There were a lot of texts.
I understand you're infiltrating us with germs.
Yep.
I will say that when I said it, I thought something was amiss, but
I thought you smiled. I thought you heard it.
No, I wasn't going back on that one.
The West Vile virus. I've got that. All right, let's meet our contestants, shall we? This
let's
is very
do
important.
It.
We got Matt, who is playing with, don't tell me.
I'm
playing with Judy. All right, hold on a second here. I got too many. There's too many things happening here.
What's happening?
Well, Matt is the sign guy. He's the guy that comes by with the signs
that
here.
Matt.
And Matt, thank you. You're on our maybe our last News of Ruse here in the Streetside Studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio. So this is
and you make our day.
Honored. Yeah, this is.
And I'm sorry, you're playing with me, Matt.
Yeah, okay.
Judy, I actually always play with Judy, and I won last time, so we got this, Judy.
All right, Matt.
All right, okay.
That's what
Matt
I meant.
All right. So Matt's a ringer. We had to check Matt's security clearance. Kim is playing with Violetta. Kim.
Hi.
Hey, Kim. I'm sorry, you're playing with me.
And Dan is playing with Justin. Dan, are you there?
I am there.
All right.
Dan, we're going to win.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll see.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I like everybody's vim and vigor.
I like it.
Careful. All right. Matt and Judy. All right. Here's what we're playing for, by the way. Headed for Harwin's New Buffalo Friday, June 29th for a cool up and smoke cigar party at the pool.
Oh, cool.
Bar featuring hand-rolled cigars, live music, and more. Admission is free, but we're giving you a card to Harwin's New Buffalo. Event details at fourwindscasino.com. The winner gets $100 and the runners-up get $50. All right. So that's pretty good.
It is.
Here we go. Here is your first headline, Matt and Judy. Children picked last for sports, 5 times more likely to end up in human resources, study finds.
You know, that sounds so
American.
It's pretty funny, too.
It's news.
I think it's news, too.
Oh. Done in by the right. Wanda Sykes is now writing for us now that she left Roseanne. So very well done.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Kim and Violetta, here is your headline. Iran's supreme leader, U.S. will fail like the cat in Tom and Jerry.
Oh, boy. What do you think, Violetta?
I don't know. That
what
sounds
a reference.
Crazy. But he does. But he does know his cartoons.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
I'll say news.
Yeah, let's go news.
News. What do you think?
News.
All right. Yes. Wow. Very good. Very well
strange,
done.
Strange but true.
Yeah. Well, you can kind of see the Iran Supreme Leader going, "Let me tell you something about Tom and Jerry."
I know the American cartoons.
They also have the Acme nuclear bomb.
It's universal,
right?
It's actually MGM, but I get you what you did there. All right, here we go. Dan and Justin, here is your headline. Please don't roast marshmallows over the erupting Hawaii volcano.
What?
USGS warns.
Yes, that is news.
Yeah, I think I heard that one.
We did hear that one. There was a guy who wanted who was questioning whether or not he could do it, and they actually responded to him on Twitter.
Oh my gosh, what is happening in the world?
That is true.
I love it. I love that story.
Would they be poisonous was one of the questions.
Yeah. Like, would the plume actually cause the marshmallow to be toxic?
What's the answer to that?
I wouldn't eat
them. They said, don't go, what are you doing? Get away from there. That's what they said. They didn't even say
don't me. Even try was how they replied. Just stay away, idiots.
Here we go.
All right.
Back to you,
Matt
and Judy.
Judy, round two. McDonald's customers suing for $5 million over unwanted quarter pounder cheese.
Judy, this one's in your hands. What do you think?
Say that again.
McDonald's customers suing for $5 million over unwanted quarter pounder cheese.
I don't even understand it.
Quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah.
Unwanted quarter pounder with cheese. Guy's suing for $5 million.
Because he got a quarter pounder with cheese he didn't order?
Yes.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, is it news or roads?
I have a headache.
Oh, God, she's near death. Matt, what time should we take you to her wake?
You might be playing alone at the end of this.
Yes, we're planning on
Can
taking you
there. Can you hold up a sign at my wake?
Yeah, I was going to say I'll make her funeral fine.
Okay.
Let's go with...
It's so stupid.
It is stupid.
It's so stupid.
That is probably true.
News.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I saw that. On all because they got cheese on the quarter pounder and the person said for $5 million.
Yep.
Take that, Starbucks. Oh, hey, speaking of Starbucks, we have the rules. We're going to do this coming up in a few minutes after News or Ruse. We have the new rules of engagement at Starbucks. We got the handout materials that they got at Starbucks yesterday.
68-page guidebook, and there are interesting things they taught them during the day when they shut down all the
stores.
Don't
call the cops, number one.
It doesn't matter. Even if a guy is peeing in the cold case, don't call the cops.
Including defining their third place policy, which is fascinating.
Oh.
Your third place policy.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Stay tuned for that.
All right, Kim and Violetta, here's your headline. Growing trend of smoking your pet's ashes is latest worry for Florida Department of Health.
Ew.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
That's gross.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ruse, though.
Are you? All right, I'll go with you.
Ooh, way to call
so
it
good.
Out.
Good
move.
She sniffs him out, doesn't she?
That's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dan and Justin, here's the headline.
Dan, here we go.
Spider bite, meth, and an amputated thumb forced man into life of crime, court hears.
Wow.
What an excuse.
I don't know if that's true or not. But I would assume it's very specific, so it feels like it would be news.
Yes.
What do you think?
Right, it sounds so stupid. It could be true, right?
Let's do it. I'll go with news.
Yeah.
You got it.
All right.
Way to go, Dan.
All right, this is very... Now, when we return, Matt and Judy have to get this right to stay in it. Matt, I feel sorry for you because you've been such a breath of fresh air for us at the Streetside Studio, bringing the signs to us, always a pleasant demeanor, unlike some of the other people who come by and do things to us in the window. And I would hate to see you go out with Judy because she's near death, but that's, you know.
But you put him with me. I didn't choose him.
I didn't do anything. I have nothing to do with any of this.
Don't blame me.
What time would you like us at your
I don't
wake?
Even know where I am right now.
I know. I know. You're actually,
bad sign.
You're actually, you actually, unlike my mother who calls and does this exact thing to me all the time.
Yeah.
I've got to go to the hospital. I go, what's wrong? I think my finger hurts. You know?
Yeah, like, instead of talking about driving in my wake, how about driving me to the hospital? How about the Walgreens clinic? That would even do.
Should I drop you off at the hospital on the way to your wake? And I don't know how to do that. All right, hold on. Everybody, hold on. Stay right there. We'll come back with the end of news. And then we'll read you the new Starbucks rules, which are, oh boy, there's really a something there. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, God. I knew this was going to be a problem. Asking her to actually work in the middle of this. Why did you show up for work?
We've got a lot of news coming up.
Okay, that's what I thought. Violetta.
Traffic is recovering for the most part, but the outbound Eisenhower is still struggling. It's an hour 35 minutes from the old post office at 390, about an hour back in. And traffic is sponsored by Arlington International Racecourse. The horses are running Friday, Saturday, Sunday at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Saturday is Benny's Taste at the track, and Sunday is Northwestern University Day. Go Cats! Visit... That's a horse. Visit arlingtonpark.com to plan your visit. Thank you. For personalized traffic, is this on a loop? Get Traffic's on demand. It's called Traffic Chicago. It's approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage, and all you have to do is search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Podramedic in WGN Traffic Center.
Oh, we have Judy's news tease now.
And you know it's almost summer when the state has the first mosquitoes to test positive for West Vile virus. They were found in Glenview. That was flawless, let me just say. Flawless!
Boy, we're going to get a lot of that. We're going to hear that a lot, I think.
All right. Stay right here. Back to News or Ruse right after.
Spoiler alert. Author Joyce Carol Oates will be at Printer's Row Lit Fest June 9th. I know. That's pretty cool. Get tickets now at printersrowlitfest.org. I don't know if you're being facetious there, but I think
spoiler
that is
alert.
A big deal.
Spoiler alert. Well, Justin
Kaufman. I know. I was trying to get her on the show.
Justin Kaufman is here.
Maybe.
Playing News or Ruse, and he is the download guy, and he always has all those authors on. Last year, of course, you had Cuckoo Kamunga, who did not speak. He's an author who does not speak.
That's not
And actually doesn't have a book out either. It's a very interesting thing. He's a performance author.
It's a bit odd, but
Yeah, I'm working it. I got a lot of people coming through. Sure. But the White Sox are getting in the way. And that's the problem. They all come into town. These authors come in on Friday. And last year, I did all the whole show just authors, like 6 or 7 to 11, just 8 different interviews.
Uh-huh.
It was maddening. And this year, the White Sox are playing Friday night. So,
and do they only make them available one day, kind of small window?
They don't fly in until Friday morning or whatever. So it's just hard to admit. I could do them by phone, but I don't know if I want to.
I would like to hear Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson interview the authors. I'd like to hear
between,
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's see if they'll do that.
Yeah.
In the studio. In the booth.
Kamunga is in this right now.
Ball two.
Well, that's a deep line. All right. It's foul.
Tell us about the strife.
Great swing speed. 5-2 player.
Cuckoo Kamunga, you wrote in the 1950s about the rise of communism in the Caribbean.
Ball two.
All right, we're continuing on here with News or Ruse. All right, we're in round three, and Matt, the sign guy, and thank you, Matt, for everything. I would get you a drone or something that would help you, but I think that's even illegal.
In the new studio, it's going to be quite elevated.
Yeah, it'd be hard for you to come by the studio, but maybe we'll have you come. We're going to have a performance studio, actually, which is going to be super cool, where we're going to have live bands for our Friday, Live Music Fridays, and we're going to have audiences for that. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a ton of fun. Maybe you can come up there and bring your own sign. And please don't make it mean about me. All right, here we go. Matt and Judy, you got to get this right to stay in it. Matt, you ready?
You know, if Judy needs it, I'm an Uber driver. I can drive her to the hospital.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for not killing me off.
Actually, we just take her lungs to the hospital. She's got to stay here to finish the newscast. All right, here we go. Here is your headline, as read by Orion Samuelson.
Property prices lower on streets with silly names. High school students find.
Can you play that one more time, please?
Ooh.
Property prices lower on streets with silly names. High school students find.
Judy, I'm going to go with
Cruise.
Okay.
Oh, man. You actually have helped Judy out here because now she can pass away silently, quietly, in comfort. Right, that she doesn't have to worry about still playing this thing.
All right,
yeah. I saw this silly
names like
an honor making signs for you guys, and you guys are the best. And you've got a WTN of flight.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Especially, sorry you lost.
Thank you especially for the Tom Brady signs, Matt. I really appreciate it, though. Just wanted to get that in. And the pictures that you added were excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being so kind. And
made my day.
And being fans. And I would just like to say, now, Judy, now this is like in the Ten Commandments when the people we know were worked to death and they would just lie down in the mud pit. You can now lie down in the mud pit.
No, I have to do a newscast.
Oh gosh.
How are
There's
you
more straw for the mud.
Row strong.
All right, here we go. Kim and Violetta, here is your headline.
Jake the Rapper challenges Jake Tapper to breakdancing and reporting contest.
What do you think, Kim?
Oh, I have no idea.
You want to go news?
I think news, yeah.
All right. It's okay. Jake, I think we got a couple.
All right, now you do. Now this is the thing. Now Dan and Justin, you just get this right, you win it, right?
Ready, Dan?
You're so good with the math. That's very good.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. Here's your headline.
Cat named after Notorious B.I.G. shot multiple times and survived.
I'd love to hear that one again, but I know we don't have time. Just one more time.
Arian Samuelson saying Notorious B.I.G. is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Cat named after Notorious B.I.G. shot multiple times and survived.
Dan, I say ruse on that one. What do you think? You like news? It's up to you, buddy. But I say that any Notorious B.I.G., that's always in ruse territory.
Okay, all right, we'll go with ruse.
Ruse.
Oh, that was a mistake. That actually happened.
Why do you listen to me, Dan?
Actually happened, and Orion got it right.
Wow, that's an amazing
Do you think
story.
That's the first time Orion has ever said Notorious B.I.G.?
Or
do you think Orion got in the middle of that whole, Biggie, Tupac?
Yeah, that's right. East Coast, West Coast rapper. Yeah.
I think he was a hip-hop correspondent for most of the 90s.
But I'd say he's more East Coast.
Yeah.
Than West Coast.
Tupac's eyes were so beautiful. All right, hold on. Here we go to the lightning round. Back to you, Kim and Violetta. Here is your headline. Florida petition to classify dwarf alligators as emotional support animals garners 300,000 signatures in 1 week.
I know it's crazy.
News. What do you think?
I think ruse, but I was wrong on the last one.
No, but you had the other one right. I'll go with you, whatever you said.
Ruse.
Wow. Yes. Nicely done. Very nicely done. All right, we got Dan and Justin here. Wisconsin man downs his 30,000th Big Mac burger.
Oh God.
30,000th Big Mac burger.
Oh, what do you think, Dan? Do we lose him? Dan's already out.
Dan.
I thought Judy was going to die. Turns out Dan died.
Okay, come on.
Just listening to that.
These are terrible jokes.
Well, why don't we go with news on that one?
You got it. Dan will be very proud of you,
Justin. Am I playing for nobody right now?
We have Dan's information.
If Dan's gone, then we can send him the thing.
All right, back to Kim and Violetta. Judge sought restraining order against peeing cat, but wants record secret, lawyer says.
Go, Kim. Call it. Quick. Lightning round. Go with your gut.
News.
Go Cats!
Yay, Kim. Okay. Yeah. Dan and Justin, New Zealand is fed up with being left off maps.
Ruse.
Dan?
Dan, are you with us? New Zealand fed up with being left off maps.
I need Matt to pick up Dan. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How's it?
Just move on.
Oh, is she there? All right, what do you think?
I said ruse.
You said ruse? All right. And no!
Does that mean Violetta and Kim?
Yes, Violetta and Kim. This
is why we play partners, right? Yeah. Dan would have been there to be like, absolutely not. That is news. See, but he's gone, so we lose.
Poor man.
Well. You fought hard.
That's called a blown save.
Yeah.
Right there.
All right. Justin, we'll see you in about half an hour right here on the WGN. Right now, we've got Judy Pilak standing by with WGN News and Tips. us all get along here, shall we? Can't we all
Can't
be friends?
Can't we all be friends?
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, yesterday, much to my chagrin, Starbucks closed itself down.
I was thinking about you. How did you cope?
I got into one right before it was. Actually, they put the sign up in the window,
mm-hmm.
and I just walked in anyway.
We're closed for training.
I know, and I demanded.
I know, you're serious, we're closed.
I demanded service, and they gave it to me. Because they're not allowed to say no to anybody anymore, for any reason whatsoever.
I don't think they would have said no to you anyway.
You're one of their best customers.
That's true. There's a picture of me on the wall. I'm the employee of the I get the employee of the month parking, and I'm a customer. That is how, as we learned, I spent $2,000 on Starbucks last year.
When you do your taxes, you figure things like that out.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Now,
that's impressive, by the way. That's like a crowning achievement.
That is a big number.
You gotta really try to spend that much money.
Yeah. I mean, Anna and I split the duties of buying the coffee for the show.
No, you treat everybody. You're right. You do.
And so there was that. I asked Anna not to look at her receipt.
I'm not going to. After I heard your total, yeah. I do not want to know mine. I just decided.
So anyway, so they had the training yesterday. More than 175,000 Starbucks employees had to do mandatory racial bias training. 8,000 stores were closed for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
This all stems from that incident in Philadelphia, right?
Right.
From a couple months
ago.
Trying
to change the culture there at the Starbucks to make sure they understand you can't just call the cops on black guys that show up in the store and ask to use the bathroom.
Time magazine spoke with 5 Starbucks employees on what was like to attend the training sessions, and they shared differing perspectives on the impact of the curriculum. Jason, the only African-American employee at his Hollywood-based Starbucks location, who asked Time to identify him by his first name only out of concern of job safety, says the training failed to address how to end instances like what happened in Philadelphia from occurring in the future. Now, a number of videos that were shown featured the perspectives of people of color, and particularly African Americans. Jason wrote in a message to Time that there were times where I felt they were missing the mark. Seems like there was a lot of talking from the videos, but not a lot of discussion from us, because this really does become its own issue here, right? Because what do you actually do? I mean, because last week I walked into our Starbucks that I walk into.
The Michigan Avenue one, very busy Starbucks.
Yeah. And there
very
was
pleasant people there.
There was a guy panhandling inside the Starbucks.
Oh.
I've never seen that before.
The guy who's usually outside, different guy.
Another guy. And then he went down and he laid down on the ground in front of the door of the Starbucks.
Sort of testing out the policy.
I don't know. I don't know if he's...
Did you call the police in a panic?
Yes, I did.
Well, you would, yeah.
You're not going to believe this.
It's like, this is the way it used to be before the training took hold, but now...
There's a man of color, and he's asking people for spare change inside the Starbucks. Come immediately.
Bring backup.
Whatever you do. I'm going to crawl into the cold case now and hide behind the yogurt.
He's making a move to the bathroom.
I think is that another lady for change?
Okay, but that isn't really the proper way to act in an
establishment. No, it is not.
It is not.
So that's the problem. What do they do?
Well,
what?
The objective for the day was make every customer feel like they belong. And there's a third place policy now in place at every Starbucks so that you see differences and understand them and know that this is your third place. Your work, your home, the first place, and the second place. And the Starbucks is the third place. And so you have to respect people in the third place.
I would like... So can I ask them to go take a shower in the employee shower?
Do they have those? You can let them stay in the store, and they can use the bathroom.
Why did every employee have to go through this, and not just the lady who panicked and called the police? Every single employee had to go through this because some idiot.
Yeah, overreacted and acted racist.
Listen, a guy's in there panhandling. And you can see, and the guy's, he's gone in his pants, and he's like, he's tattered. I mean, we see this, there's a lot of street theater here in Chicago.
You see it.
Right? See it. And I think there's a way to discern between a couple of guys who are, dressed in, actually, these guys were well-dressed, the guys in Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. And I sitting there, waiting. I think one of them had a laptop or something.
They were having a business meeting. They said they wanted, talk about whatever issue in business they were talking about. I don't know what they were putting together, but one of them, remember, we went to use the bathroom, and yeah. One of them was ordering, and he came back, and his friends were already in cuffs. It was, I mean, we all agree that what happened there was not right.
Now, what they said is that they told them to be color brave instead of color blind.
Oh, dear God.
And the black employee goes, "This is the whitest thing I ever heard."
However, it was Melody Hobson is the one who came up with that. You know, we know her from Chicago, African American woman, president of Ariel Capital, the wife of George Lucas.
Yes,
she did a TED talk on color brave. I just think when it got into the Starbucks infrastructure, it started to be. It didn't come across to.
I just don't know if you can teach someone to not be racist
in one day.
Wait, just a second. In general.
I mean, that lady obviously overreacted, the Starbucks situation that we're talking about, but they have to be able to still, you know, do their job, like what you were saying with people panhandling.
Yeah, you should throw somebody out who's panhandling. There ought to be a rule about that. Because you can't make the other employee, the other customers feel uncomfortable, right?
But yeah, they're disturbing.
But there's
business.
A difference. But I mean, this is not a black and white issue, ironically enough. You have to use your discretion. You have to decide who is being disruptive to the process of the commerce in your store.
Classic common sense.
Common sense. Where the hell is the common sense? So a guy who's now decided to poop in his pants and lie in front of your door of your establishment, that's a guy gotta go. Sir, you gotta go. But a couple of guys sitting around waiting on a business meeting. First of all, I never understood the idea of, you know, if you are not creating a nuisance inside the store,
it's your third place, safe place.
Right, that's your safe place, right? Mm-hmm. You can go
Starbucks
there.
Starbucks definitely had to do something. I just, obviously, this
Give them credit. They lost $12 million for closing the stores for that day, and 175,000 employees weren't working, and they, you know, they want to reform their culture. Maybe it's not going to happen in one day, but they might have changed the way things operate.
And those videos never, when they teach you anything, even about like sexual harassment or what, they're always awkward.
They're always a little goofy.
It's like the sex ed videos, you know?
Yeah.
It's always something a little weird.
Hey, baby.
You're like, what was that? Is that how it's going to happen?
Xerox machine?
Right. Is that A, appropriate? B, inappropriate? Or C, there's a better way to do that?
My wife's out of town.
There's a
Would you like a raise?
There's a fruit basket in my office.
Oh, God. You guys, did you write the training manual for me? Because I think you could.
It is as stupid as that, though.
It's like a cheap porno. Right.
Maybe you'd like to go out and have dinner and drinks with my friends, but I won't pay for dinner because we need to get you real drunk.
Oh, I dropped my pen under my desk.
Go fetch that for me, right? I mean, we know that. Come on, guys. Yeah. We get it. But maybe, I don't know. I wasn't at the training. I don't know how this was perceived.
I don't think Bill Cosby did anything wrong.
Oh, God.
Is that A?
Said no one ever.
Good statement. B, a wrong statement.
Right, exactly. All right, now, did you say there was some other? All right, so there's, it's...
It's the color brave part of it.
Yes,
there's the third
need to be color brave.
Place policy
yes,
as
now
well.
Now we get to live at the Starbucks if we want to.
Well, they can't, you know, you're going to be able to
the
use
Apple
the bathroom.
Store's busy, so go to the Starbucks
And
store.
Then they kind of put people through, like, how would you deal with someone, you know, the customer's gender wasn't specific or known to you. How do you handle that? Or someone has a thick accent or somewhat confusing scenarios that you might encounter and how you would handle them.
Talk American!
Yeah, that's bad. But can we all agree they should have just had a training on the tea situation? I don't like when they give you the tea at the register. It backs up the line a lot.
They do that with the coffee, too.
Yeah. Like, you got to move over to the next section, in my opinion.
So that's your main concern right now?
That's much bigger than that.
Training. I mean, if they're doing training.
And the guy walking
throw
through,
that in there.
Help me out. I think I just went in my own pants.
I'm sorry, sir. This is your third home, even though you don't have a first or second.
We're color brave.
All right, so here's the scenario.
But you still have to
all right,
go.
Give us a scenario.
Okay, so there is there was a customer in the store, real scenario that they were, Starbucks employees looked at this scenario.
Okay.
Customer who was using uncomfortable and foul language loudly at a store last week. So you work there. How do you handle it?
Sir, I'm going to need you to turn it down.
Sir, shut your pie hole. We're going to have to remove you from the premises.
I agree with you. I don't think Bill Cosby did anything wrong.
No, the correct answer is you are in our store every day, and we love that this is your third place. But from one human to another human, the language that you're using is making other customers uncomfortable. God.
His response is F off immediately. Okay, thank you for your respectful response. I will now exit.
Human to human, leave me the F alone.
Right.
So either you have to change your behavior or stay and be part of our third place.
At this point,
the guy's already like causing a
ruckus.
He's
going nuts.
He's already pulling something out of his pants.
I'm going to ask you to leave, and you can come back at a later time when you feel like you can be part of our third place.
Oh, wow.
I'll give you a third place right here.
And you can stick it up.
Right. Oh, my God. That guy's not exiting after that response.
Yeah, they're going to have trouble.
You don't appear to be in the spirit of this.
In the third
place. The third place. And we want you, and all the rest of us here are trying to enjoy our third place, and we would like you to enjoy it in the spirit that we're enjoying it. Would you like to sing a song with us about our third place?
But don't sit Indian style. It's going to be pretzel. Might offend someone.
All right. Are we?
Oh, gee.
All right. Well, let's find out. Martier seems like the sensitive enough guy. He'd be the guy that you'd want to have. All right, Martier, handle this.
I'm very sensitive.
Yeah. What's coming up?
First cases of West Nile virus have been detected in the northern suburbs, and teachers in Illinois will be getting a raise.
How do we know that Judy doesn't have West Vile virus, as she called it earlier?
West Vile virus?
Yes. How do we know? Maybe she's got that.
It's spreading quickly here in the newsroom.
All right. We should check with her. All right. The traffic now being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.